Absolutely.
Stone Roses on XFM 104.9. I'm Ricky Gervais, with me Steve Merchant.
Hello there.
And Carl Pilkington for the last time.
Indeed.
I'm afraid.
Yes.
So, you know, we're gonna have a little bit of a chat. We're sewing up some things with Carl.
Indeed.
We're giving away that prize, that BAFTA bag, and, you know.
Playing some great music.
And we're just, I mean, I'm bringing in my favourite tunes. I'm bringing the Smiths, Radiohead, Cat Stevens, David Bowie, Neil Young, the classics. Steve's doing the same.
Indeed.
Well, Carl. The last time for, yeah, apparently, someone's got it a bit wrong. We're not actually away for 6 weeks. We're away for about, we'll be back in, August, won't we?
Bloody hell.
Yeah. No, don't swear.
Yeah, that's outrageous.
On the last show, you have to say that.
Already brought the tone down.
Yeah.
Cheapened it.
And I think it's blasphemous as well.
Yeah.
No, it's not. No, hell isn't, is it?
Isn't it?
No, I don't think, that's not blasphemy, is it?
Taking hell's name in vain?
Yeah.
Yeah, but what was it you were saying the other week about the Queen Mum used to have a right mouth on her?
What?
I don't think we said that on air, Carl.
What?
No, but last week, you were saying about bad language, and I was saying, oh, you know, there'll come a time when bad language isn't, you know, doesn't matter anymore. You can F and Jeff and stuff.
Oh, I know what he's talking about, Steve.
Really?
Right, let me explain to you, the listener at home. Carl was worried about swearing, and as a joke, off air, it was last week, we were saying that, in the 1940s and 50s, the Queen Mum used to say things like, and we were quoting things she'd said,
yeah.
Like, saying, but putting F's and C's in there, and you believed us.
Oh, so this whole week, you've believed that we somehow had knowledge that the Queen Mum used to swear like a trooper?
We were doing fake quotes from her, in her voice, but putting in F's and C's, and you believed us. I mean, I didn't even think, I thought you were going along with a joke, but it obviously made an impact.
Carl, we've said this, you've got to question and query everything. You can't take things at face value, certainly not if they come out of the mouths of Ricky Gervais.
Yeah.
Alright.
Yeah, sorry about that, Carl, it was a little trick.
Is there any other things now that, as
is
you look back over
the time
we've
said that you've been thinking about that I can tell you now that was a lie?
Anything you've maybe queried or questioned, you know, you've thought, oh, that doesn't seem right, that maybe Ricky's told you?
Something might come to me
okay.
Later on, but
okay. Well, what about Carl? I mean, we love you, right? Obviously, we know that. We've got great affection for you. We look forward to this. I'm going to miss you, really. But and I'll tell you what, you've got a heart of gold. Now wait till you see what the record is, Steve. You'll see what I've done.
Is it a heart of gold?
Yeah,
brilliant, brilliant. All right, that's why he's a bronze award winner at the Sonys.
I don't get up for bronze. I don't get out of bed for bronze.
No, that's a waste of our time.
Pilkington over there on XFM 104.9, winner of a bronze award
at the Sony
at the Sonys.
Radio Awards.
The Radio Oscars,
Man
Phil Jupiter said. That's what he called them on Liquid News.
I'll tell you this, Rick, I'm not used to being on a table with losers at an awards ceremony.
No, I'm glad, I didn't want to come in to do the final show.
No.
You know, no. I went straight over and sat with Pete and Jeff, didn't I?
Yeah.
I went over Radio to the, 4, I went over with Paul Gambaccini.
I went over to BBC World Service.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
It's a lot funkier.
Yeah.
Cooler.
Won an award.
Yeah,
won an award.
They swept the boards.
Yeah. I don't, bronze is nowhere.
What was the mood,
what was the mood here?
The mood,
Because the day after, because people were, I mean, let me tell you that, I think XFM deserved an award, and I thought it was criminal, actually.
But what I did like about, that we certainly had the room, because Pete and Jeff said good luck to us and Christian, that was really nice. And then someone else mentioned it.
James Nesbitt.
James Nesbitt, yeah. Said XFM and stuff, so yeah. It certainly
Paul
had the-
Gambaccini said something about it.
Yeah,
did
so
he?
It,
Paul
certainly,
Gamba?
Yeah. It certainly had the room. And for a local, you've got to realise it's a local radio station,
yeah.
You know, and you can't compete really with Radio 2 and Radio 4. And
but what was the mood the day after, here at XFM?
It was all right. I mean, I think we expected a few more. But
you shouldn't take this thing seriously anyway.
No. But what I didn't realise is you have to pay thousands of pounds just to nominate, just to get into the running for an award. So you've already, you know, they've squandered thousands of pounds.
No, it's not thousands, is it?
Well, it mounts up because you pay for it to enter,
and right? Then the table.
You've got to buy like mini discs and that to send your stuff in on.
Which sure. Ends
up with Sony mini discs.
Mm. Oh, I see what you're saying, Carl.
I'm not saying anything.
No.
And also then you've got to pay for the table.
Right.
And the food and the drink. I mean, it's a few grand.
I swore on live television as well that night.
Yeah.
But I've never done that before. I mean, I've sworn before, but never accidentally. And we were being interviewed for, and Christian was sort of like, quite, you know, being a bit boisterous, and he must have brought out the worst of me, and I just accidentally said the F word, and I apologised straight away. I didn't want to embarrass Phil Dupas. He was doing a good job himself.
Yeah.
But I was thinking about yesterday, and you're saying a bronze isn't worth having, right?
Yeah.
But say like
we're only joking. Then none of them are worth having, but they're very nice. They're very nice to win.
No, bronze is pointless.
But you say that because like bronze is like coming last, isn't it?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Can you tell me the name of the person who won the marathon this year? No.
Yeah, but that's because we're not sporty. Well, I'm sure there's lots that can.
But then the guy who came last, who was in the swimsuit, people remember him.
And no, I don't remember his name either.
No, what was his name?
No, but he was 6 days late. I mean, he was really
bad. What was his name then?
You see, no one's remembering either.
No, but if someone said, who won the marathon, I'd go, I don't know, but there was that guy in the swimsuit.
Well, I'd say, I don't know, it was a woman.
Yeah.
She had shorts on and trainers.
I'm just trying to make
My point is, what they will remember is that we were losers. That's what they remember. They may not remember our names. Yeah. They're just point and shout losers.
We're all winners, though, aren't we? We're all winners, really.
For taking part, sure.
Yeah.
And it's all subjective as well, isn't it?
Go on.
I mean, I'm not going to moan about awards, because you've won a lot of them. It's like saying they don't mean jack. But at the end of the day, right, there's some shows that won awards, and you go, yeah, that's worth an award.
I think you've got to treat it... I mean, some awards actually boost your profile or career or your cachet or anything like that. Some it's just a nice night out when it's nice to win, but I don't think you should really take any award that seriously.
What worries me though, Rick, as I mentioned on the night, is that I, when I was at school, was, I mean, you look at me now, you probably think he's an athletic kind of guy, he's a sporty dude, you know, but at school, bizarrely, that was not the case.
No, what, were you a bit of a lanky beanpole?
It turns out, you're joking.
Yeah. Oh, right, okay.
So, I got a silver, in the high jump.
Yeah.
And I've done better in the high jump, right? Did no training whatsoever, no practice, just turned up.
You were 2.5 foot taller than every other person in your class.
Yeah, but wait a minute, people think that if you're tall, that makes you easier. It makes it easier for you to do the high jump. Surely not, because I've got all that leg to get over the pole. That makes it harder for me, surely.
Don't talk rubbish.
What are you talking about?
Well, of course the taller you are, the more chance you got the high jump.
Well, explain that to me.
Okay then. So, is it harder for a 6 foot man to step over a matchbox or a baby midget?
A baby midget? That is tiny, Rick.
Hang on. Here's something I've learned, remember?
Go on.
Back to like show four or whatever.
Go on.
What
show
is it?
Four?
The flea can jump over the London Eye?
No! No, it can jump the equivalent of if it was a 6 foot man. It can jump about 6 inches high. A flea cannot jump over the London Eye.
Yes, it can. Yeah, it can.
And I
Tell your kids that.
God. Oh.
But remember.
Oh, a flea can jump over the London Eye. And an ant can lift three Volvos.
But you're talking about fitness people and that. Remember when we were in the pub, right?
Yeah.
And your mate Johnny was in there.
Yeah.
I think it was.
Yeah.
And he was talking about that guy who got done, right? Because he entered a wheelchair race.
Yeah.
And there was nothing wrong with him. His legs were all right.
Yeah.
Now, he got done. Because he shouldn't have been involved in it.
Yeah.
But don't you think that really, he's really good for doing that? Because he's not normally in a wheelchair.
Sure.
So he's not used to how they move about.
Yeah.
His arms aren't as strong as the other fellas who are always in the wheelchair.
Sure. He had his mate pushing him. That was the problem.
It was motorised.
Yeah. I'd give him a gold plus. Just, you're taking a bloke who's not used to doing something. He does it the first time and beats the people who are at it.
What about that brilliant woman, though, that was disqualified in the shooting, because she was in a wheelchair, and she was just in the normal, able-bodied Olympics, it was just, she entered, right? But she wasn't allowed to rest her elbow on the arm of her chair, because that was such an advantage. So she's in a wheelchair, and she's shooting, but she was getting an unfair advantage, and they said, you cannot put your elbow on the arm of your
sneaky,
wheelchair.
Aren't they? No, they are. You've got to be careful. You've got to be careful.
Do you want to play a...
Some of them aren't even disabled, it turns out.
Hold on, though. We're talking about athletes, aren't we? What record should we play next?
I'd love to hear that single that was out a couple of months back by Athlete.
Athlete.
Let's have Athlete.
Athlete.
Man alive. Athlete. West Side by Athlete, a track that I know you and I have enjoyed.
Yeah, it was one of our favourite new tracks of the year, that one. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Very good. More of our favourite tracks to come on XFM 104.9.
You know, Ricky Gervais,
and you.
Steve Merchant.
And,
Carl Perkinson.
Sure, go on.
You know, I was mentioning the high jump. Do you know the reason I didn't get the gold? It's faintly embarrassing, because the guy was, it was just neck and neck, me and another guy. In fact, he was slightly shorter than I was. And I was using the traditional Fosby flop. Is it the Fosby flop?
Fosby flop.
And he was using a method, which I can only describe as the Superman, where he was running at the bar and diving head first over it. I've never seen this technique before.
It's illegal, that's
absolutely incredible. Is it not allowed?
The Fuzzy Rat only works because his shoulder and that are going over before his head.
Right.
That's how they got around the rule. You weren't allowed to dive over because it was
obviously
too easy.
No one monitoring that.
Yeah. No.
Just
one,
the
no.
games teacher's having a quick fag.
Yeah. Yeah. What was his name again?
The
fag.
I think his name was Mr. Woodbine. Anyway, so he's using this method, right, and it gets neck and neck, and I don't know how many chances you get to knock down the bar, but anyway, it got to the point where basically I had to get over the bar, or I was going to come second.
Sure.
And I decided at that point to use his method, because he'd seemed to be doing so well with it. I thought, well, I'll try that then. That looks easy.
Oh, dear.
And ran at the bar, launched, didn't actually get my feet off the ground, just hit the bar like I was someone finishing a race, you know.
Going did
the
you have...
It's so pathetic, just clattered everywhere.
I just want to get this picture of you at the age of, what, 15, 16?
Yeah, yeah.
6'5" already, probably?
Yeah, probably, yeah, yeah.
Probably, what, about 9 stone?
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you have your glasses on?
Of course I did.
That you must have looked pretty
probably,
sexy.
Probably a small bum fluff tash.
Yeah. Yeah.
As well.
That must have been good.
That
was it
good
true
looking.
Once, when you were about 16, you decided to wear a dicky bow to school?
Yeah.
That must have been great.
That was during my PG Waterhouse phase.
You thought you'd be a hit with the ladies if you were more sophisticated.
Well, not only that, I thought it'd make me kind of kooky and eccentric.
Yeah.
Like I wasn't already. 6'7", goggle-eyed.
Yeah.
Like they're not already thinking there goes a weirdo. Oh, he's a weirdo with a bow tie.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Does it spin round, mate?
Yeah, what
Because you're
catch.
Getting me hot.
Exactly.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, I wore that for about 6 months, and it was in school colours, because we had to wear a tie, it's a school,
Fantastic.
But this is a bow tie. I mean, now I don't- oh, man.
I can't believe
it. I don't know what I was
Carl,
thinking.
Carl, when you were, a little Pilkington, right, what was- if you had hair, what would it be like?
What do you mean?
Well, you obviously had hair then, back then, what was the, style?
It was like, sort of- I had quite sort of, fine, sort of straight hair.
Yeah.
Right. Hairdresser once said to me, you've got hair of a Chinaman.
He was a wise man, wasn't he? What do you think that meant then? Oh.
He just said you've got the same hair as a Chinese man has. Very straight, quite fine.
Why is he telling you? I just imagine this bar going, the arsehole did well, didn't it, sir? Should I have something on that? You have the hair of a Chinaman. I'm sorry, nothing. You're not the spy. No, I'm not. Thank you. Good night.
You're not my
spy. Yeah, lovely. You have the feet of a fish. I'm sorry, nothing. It's not you. Okay, next. You have the hair of a Chinaman.
It was one of those barbers, it was a cheap one, just on a railway bridge.
I don't believe that. Go on.
On a railway bridge?
That's why it was cheap. It was very low rent, so he could charge.
That wasn't a barber. That was a man with some scissors.
Yeah. Did you go? Oh, I have to move you there, sir. Okay, back in the chair, sir.
No, I imagine them on one of those things you always see in old films where you've got.
You have to pump it up and down.
Thing,
yeah,
so
like a
seesaw.
Yeah.
That's not as good as that. It was just a normal chair, little wooden hut, and he did have to stop when a train came past because it used to.
Well, because he had to change the signals.
Just making a few extra
bucks. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Oh, I love
That's
that.
That's Manchester for you.
Oh, God.
I always
it wasn't Bernard Cribbins, was it?
I always remember him saying, do you want your hair washing? And I said, is it free? You know, does it come with it? And he said, yeah. So I said, oh, go on then. He said, hang on now, I just have to wash these mugs up. He had like a sink full of mugs.
Oh,
he said, I'll
God.
I'll just take these out and then I can wash your head.
Oh, no.
And that's why.
Why did you go to this man?
It was cheap.
It was How much was it?
About £2.
And when was this?
God. About 88, 89.
All right.
Yeah.
So what happened to your Chinese hair? When did it start coming out?
You have the hair of a bald Chinaman now, yeah. Don't you?
You've got the hair of a Chinaman in a box now.
Oh.
I used to just, work a lot of hours, and I think...
That's what made it fall out.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
It's no, it's like not. It's genetic. You can't stop
it's not
it,
genetic.
Of course it is.
Is your dad bald?
No, it's got more hair than me now, I think.
Is your mum? Kojak's got more hair than you, Carl.
Anyway. Don't have a go at Carl's hair. That's a bit harsh.
Oh, look at his little face.
What did it say before in that book about going bald? It said, it had a little tip, didn't it? We'll go over them later.
It says, if you're going thin, doesn't it say, cut your hair short and something like that.
So it makes you look thicker.
Yeah. Oh yeah, we got people are offering Carl lots of. We're coming up to that.
We'll get to that. Sorry,
yeah.
Obviously we
to win that BAFTA bag.
Shall I remind people what the competition was?
Yeah.
Last week we were giving away this bag that we got signed by various celebrities at the BAFTAs, and we asked you to email or write in with your suggestions as to what you have that you could swap for the bag, and it has to be something that will enhance Carl's life. We've had quite a lot of suggestions. I'll go through those a bit later, but they're some of them are quite eccentric.
Meanwhile, I'm going to play one of my favourite songs off one of my favourite albums.
I look forward to hearing it.
It's Radiohead, it's The Bends, and this is Black Star.
Go for it.
Sugar Cubes.
Hit.
Yeah, on XFM 104.9. Our last show. Our last show till August.
Absolutely.
Sorry about that. We'll miss it. We can't avoid it, really. We've got to go away and do some filming. And they're only going to miss you anyway, Carl. They could do without us now.
Zoe yeah. Ball's on.
Yeah, Zoe Ball. And who else is after her? She's not doing the whole run, is she?
Yeah, I think so.
Is she doing the whole 3 months, is she?
Yeah.
Tell her not to get too comfortable.
Alright.
Right? Don't let her feet, and don't let Big Boy Slim come in with her, because he mixes up the records, doesn't he? And ruins them.
Yep. Yeah. Hey, talking of DJing.
Go on.
You know, I did that storming set the other night, for XFM.
Yeah, sure, yeah. Go on.
This was down at a little club, in case you aren't aware of it.
Yeah.
Anyway, I went to the Sony's the other night.
Yeah.
Carl Pilkington sidles up to me, yeah. Slips me an envelope.
Go on.
Oh, 200 big ones in there.
Did he get paid cash for that?
Yeah. £200! Taxman won't know about that. Cash in hand.
No, the taxman won't know, because, I mean, obviously no one who ever works in taxman is listening to local radio.
Oh.
Yeah. Well, so...
No, the taxman will know about it.
Yeah.
Because I'll declare it.
I would.
Put it, yeah, it's going straight down. I'll do it when I get home. Do it when I get in later on.
And don't write off rubbish that you buy anyway, like, you know.
No, yeah. I won't.
No.
I'll do it all above board, officially. Fill it all in correctly. And so I'll send it now, I'll send it tomorrow, so that you get it early. So it's not too busy for you, sir.
Oh, never mind. Oh, yeah, also, did you see, Liquid News last night?
No. What is Liquid News? I don't really watch
it. It's the thing on Choice, right? And it's sort of celebrity news, yeah. And Julian Clary was on, and they were talking about the Sony Awards the night before, which went to, and they said something like a relatively unknown had won the Entertainment Award that we were up for, and Christian and Chris Moyles and Jonathan Ross said that beating off bigger people. Not he was beating off bigger people. They weren't suggesting he was.
Was Julian Clary beating off at the heart? Yeah.
Yeah. And it said, so, the people who didn't win resorted to silliness. And it cut, right? I don't know where the camera was. It must have been miles away, because it wasn't us. Cut to me making a little hat for you out of a Budweiser box, a little dark thing, and then forcing it on your head, and you sort of struggling. Do you remember that?
I do remember it.
Yeah.
They're
always watching.
They were filming us.
They were filming it, yeah.
Scary.
So, yeah.
That's really scary, because some of the things we were doing.
Because I was tying scarves around your head, wasn't I? We were
touching Carl in an intimate way.
We were gaying him up.
Gaying him up.
To make him feel all uncomfortable and everything. Because he doesn't like that sort of thing, do you?
Can't stand it.
We're going to be giving you a cuddle about 5 to 3, seriously.
Yeah. We are going to- On the way out-
And I've got roaming hands.
Yeah.
Do you know them girls who came up from the Radio Academy and sort of said, oh, so you're Carl then?
Right, yeah. A couple of fans went up to Carl.
Yeah. Just on the way out, I said to him again, I said, look, I'm not gay. Because they were convinced I was.
That's because they, if you remember a couple of weeks ago, we teased Carl that he had to go as Steve's partner to the BAFTAs, and they really meant partners. You know, after the show, when he was walking around, he was going to go buy a suit, I actually said, they will ask you. He went, well, what if they say, and they, as we walk in, Steve Merchant and his boyfriend, Carl, well, they might say that as you walk in, they might overdub it on the television, so, he's going, well, what about my mates in Manchester? And he said, I'm not going. The risk of someone in Manchester thinking that he was going out with you, mind you, it was probably
right,
going,
wow,
if he was
going to see where you're going
if you were going to be gay, you wouldn't choose Steve, would you?
No.
Who would you choose if you were gay?
If you could go out with any bloke, who would it be?
That's a good one.
Yeah.
That's a good one. He's thought about it before.
Go on. No, of course not. No, who would it be? If you were gay, what bloke would you go out with?
God. Probably, Jonathan Ross is alright.
You gay!
Ooh,
you fancy Jonathan Ross, you Bender!
Hello.
Oh, Bender!
Rossi!
Bender. Oh,
ooh, you've got his number, haven't you? We should get contact.
I love you, Jonathan, you!
Hello! Jonathan, I love
your film show. It was so funny and handsome and welcome.
Rock and roll with me, David Bowie, off Diamond Dogs. Another one of my favourite tracks.
Cracking.
Great track, isn't it? Well, it's time for Carl's Room 101. Carl was too shy to obviously ever do this for real, but we thought that end the run of this with things that Carl hates.
Yeah,
we know the thing he likes. We know that. So, Carl. Okay.
We should just point out that we've been inspired by the TV show Room 101. We didn't come up with this ourselves.
Yeah, we did. This is Room 102. Yeah, we'll be Paul Merton, and you'll be Carl Pilkington. Right. You can try to banish to Room 101 all those things that you dislike. They're never to be seen again. Will you please welcome Carl Pilkington?
Alright.
Who?
How are you doing?
Alright. Carl, so what's your first... What does this represent? And imagine me putting some on a table next to you. Go on.
Right. Well, first of all, right, it's dead hard to come up with, like, five things that drive you up the wall.
Okay.
Right, it's not easy, because there's so many things.
Yeah.
But it's just like, you know, picking five, it's like someone saying, pick your five favourite records or five favourite films.
Yeah.
So it's hard, so...
You know in Desert Island Discs where you always get the complete works of Shakespeare in the Bible?
Yeah.
I think you should include Ricky Gervais. I think you should always be there already in Room 101. They don't have to nominate you. You always go in.
Go on then.
So don't bother putting him in. Don't bother putting Ricky in, Carl. He's already
yeah,
there.
Yeah, I'm already there, waiting.
Yeah.
Go on then.
Right. Yeah. First of all, right, I thought of, like, things that we've done in the past.
Sure.
And, like, quotes and that, like you were talking about.
Yeah.
That quote that people say that, you know, money doesn't make you happy.
Yeah.
Right, we're just rattling through some here.
Yeah.
That annoys me.
What?
Money well, the quote, money doesn't make you happy.
Yeah, because it does. It clearly does.
Right.
Without it, life's pretty dull, isn't it?
Yeah, good. Right?
So,
okay.
So that's like a little short thing. And you know, then that sort of makes you think about people with money. There was a programme on in the week, I don't know if you saw it, Steve, the one Posh Loaded.
That was brilliant, wasn't it? That was a great show.
So annoying.
Oh, yeah.
There was a girl on there, right, who's from a rich family and that, and, you know, it's not her fault she's from a rich family.
No.
It's like how posh people annoy people. That doesn't annoy me, because the way I sound is because of where I'm brought up and that.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, if you sound posh, you sound posh. It's, you know, it doesn't change who's a person or whatever.
Yeah, it's quite
But
true.
This girl, right, did you see it, Steve?
I did.
You didn't see it, did you, Ricky, right? This girl goes shopping, she buys, like, four t-shirts and a crappy little handbag.
Yeah.
Spends about 1,300 quid, and she's just wasting it going, you know, the woman's saying, oh, you'll love these, you know, they're really in fashion, she said, oh, whatever, I'll probably only wear them once anyway. And it's just, that sort of thing annoys me.
Yeah.
You know, people with money, you know, who have grafted for it, are good. But like, you know, people who just get money given to them from the rich parents trying to make the world. There was another point, right, where she's in a shoe shop, right, and she's like, got these big boots and stuff. But part of the problem is, right, she's quite odd-looking in that, right? But she's got a lot of money, so she makes herself look half-decent.
Yeah.
Problem is, she's got fat ankles.
She's got what?
Fat ankles.
Right.
And they drive her up the wall, because no matter- I mean, it's one of them things, isn't it? It's almost like God has gone, yeah, you can have all the toffees and stuff you want, you can have, like, your nice t-shirts, but at the end of the day, love, you're stuck with these ankles, and you can see these-
Idea of God saying, right, you can have all the toffees you want,
yeah,
and you have nice handbags and that, but you're stuck with these ankles. Oh, God!
And I really wanted to get a job in that shoe shop where she was going in, blowing her dad's money, and she was calling up her dad saying, oh, daddy, is it all right if, you know, I'm just out shopping, I've just bought some shoes that have cost like a grand, and I really wanted a job in that shoe shop. Just so I could sit there, and when she comes in, you go, oh, hello, love, whatever her name is, lovely to see you here again. Got some lovely new shoes in. Got look at these nice new boots. Everyone's wearing them. Victoria Beckham, and you know all the it girls are wearing them. Yeah, try them on. Oh, you can't because your ankles are so fat. You can't get into these. Never mind. Here's some boots. She really annoyed me, and I'm not a nasty person.
You're
but
not.
She brought it out of me.
Oh, I'm worried though. This idea of you getting a job in a shoe shop. I'm not sure you're qualified. Well,
I like all that's way round it, that some people go, oh, I'd like her to lose all her money or something. He'd like to actually bother go through getting the job in the shop.
Yeah.
And then just wait in there.
You'd be too busy mucking around outside, like, on some kind of trolley stuck in a little lake.
Yeah.
But interestingly, in that show, I was watching that show, and at one point, you mentioned that her fat heels or her fat ankles.
Yeah.
She said, I'd like to have various changes to my body. I know, plastic surgery. I'd like to do this to my face, and da da da. And her mum's there, and her mum's going, no, don't be so. That's her, no, you're my daughter. You're beautiful. Da da da. No, you shouldn't. I'm not going to let you have those. Da-da-da. She went, I'd love to have an operation on my fat ankles. Her mum went, yeah, I do agree with that.
Oh, how bad can fat ankles be?
I know.
What were these ankles like?
Well, tell us, Rick, you must know.
No, do you know what I mean, though?
Like, if you said to a little kid, to a four-year-old kid, draw a person, they'd draw her legs. Do you know where there's no sort of thin bit, and then it comes out a bit for your knees?
Oh, yeah, and then just ankles. Straight.
It was just like two logs.
People go in and say, I like your new flares. What do you mean flares? They're leggings. Cheeky.
Awful, so, you know.
It's okay, so you're putting in posh girls with fat ankles.
Yeah.
Okay, what's your next one on Room 101?
Right, another quick one, really.
You're on.
People in supermarkets.
Right. What, the people who serve?
Yeah. It's mainly, these shops you get round in London that are, like, open 24 hours, right?
Yeah.
You'll go in, and you'll buy you know, you don't do your main shop there, it's mainly just little bits, innit?
Yeah.
Your carton of milk and,
sure.
Maybe a loaf. Couple of balm cakes and that.
Yeah.
And you go in there.
Who still wants balm cakes?
Right?
Do they have them in London?
Yeah.
Do you ever ask? Would you be annoyed if they said balm cakes? We don't have those down here, they're rubbish.
That's happened before when I asked for gravy and they didn't know what gravy was.
When did you ask for gravy?
In a chippy.
What do you mean? What do you say? Have you got any gravy?
Just because you up north you have chips and pie and gravy on it. And
yeah.
They didn't have a clue what I was talking about.
Right, okay.
So that annoys me, actually. Stick that on the list.
You've got fishmen up north.
But listen, right?
We saw a sign in the north, right? It was a little shop, and the sign said, we sell bread. And it was handwritten. It was like, there was probably like a rush with those people in turbans going,
what's this bread you talk of?
Yeah. Little headscarves, little women running down with their little, oh.
But anyway, these shops, right? So you go in there, getting your stuff. And you'll go up to the till, and they don't say hello to you. They don't sort of smile. They just bleep the stuff through.
Mm-hmm.
They don't tell you how much it is. They just sort of expect you to look at the till to see how much it is. So
yeah.
You can get your hand in your pocket, give them the money, they'll give you the change, and they won't say goodbye.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it's like they just can't be arsed to have any sort of hello, how are you doing?
Yeah.
I don't want a big chat. I don't want to know what they're getting up to and
what,
you know, what the dad does for a living and all that. I just want, like, how are you doing? You know, you're well, right. Oh, yeah, this bread's, you know, popular or whatever. Right, that'll be £5.
You need to keep abreast of which bread you're selling well.
Oh, Mother's Pride, that's a good choice. So 70% of our stock is worth.
So that really, you know, even though, you know, it is a 24-hour
shop. I would err on the side of silence. Not rudeness. I hate rudeness if they're rude, but I would rather, I'd start to go, £1.50, please. And that'd be fine for me. Any more?
What about, hello and goodbye, have a good day? Not in an American way.
It doesn't bother me. I prefer people who say have a nice day and don't mean it to people who don't say it at all and don't mean it, to be honest. I don't worry about that mock sincerity because I think it.
No, it's just normal, isn't it?
I like people who say, I don't care. They say, oh, nice to see you, come again, have a nice day. It doesn't bother me. But a chat, I hate people who think they're the life and soul.
No, I don't mean like, you know, if you go through a door, you hold it open, you go, there you go. You know what I mean?
You expect a thank you.
Yeah, that's all.
Yeah, and also when do you come in at like a narrow walkway and you're both walking there and I stop, we'll get out of the way and they tut like I should have. I want to go, hold on, look, we're both in the same boat here.
Yeah.
Why is it me? That annoys me where people
just tutting when they're in the wrong.
They own the street or if two people aren't looking where they're going, it's one person's fault. Yeah. That really annoys me, yeah.
Sorry. So that's it really. I mean, I know the 24-hour shops and they're knackered and stuff, but politeness, just to say.
Well, it costs nothing, does it?
No.
So those are your little quick ones, then we get on to your big three, don't we? The big one.
Yeah,
should you play a record and come back to that?
I don't know what you want.
I'm talking to Carl Pilkington on Room 101 on XFM 104.9.
Yeah.
What is your plan?
New Order.
Oh, excellent. Do you know what I mean?
It's
mad. We were shouting at you then. How loud are those headphones?
pretty loud, but I'm always wearing headphones, so...
Yeah, yeah, but look, look what I'm doing. This is an old radio trick. You put one earphone over your ear and the other one off so you can hear people in the room.
Hives on XFM 104.9.
What did you want to say?
Doesn't matter, Carl. It does.
The
it
point
really
is, it could have been important. It could have been a fire,
you,
anything.
When we shout anything, you jump.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Come on, Carl. Uh-huh. Get with the programme, all right? Hey?
Right, what other things do you want to put in 101?
Other than us.
Spiders.
Right, go on.
I know Ricky will be agreeing with this.
Yeah, all spiders, yeah.
Just, I mean, not all spiders, because there's some spiders that are on the planet that don't do any harm. They clean up stuff, don't they?
What? Like a little brush.
Do you mean janitor spiders?
Yeah.
No, there's some that, you know.
Hong Kong leggy.
Just clean with stuff, but I'm talking about the spiders that are deadly. And,
right.
And spiders that are massive. I mean, Johnny's mate, Ricky's mate, Johnny, I mean.
Yeah.
He was talking about how, he was in Australia.
Yeah.
And he was sharing a room with a mate or whatever. And his mate was having a shower. And said, Johnny, just come in here a minute. And he went in. And there was a spider on the side of the bath that he said was the size of your hand.
Two hands, width, it's sort of like a size of track, just like 8 inches across.
That big, right? And the daft thing with that one is that that can't kill you. It's massive, it's got no purpose.
It's a huntsman.
Yeah, but what, something you said it does, right? If you sort of walk around it and it thinks you're gonna try and trap it, it hisses at you.
And jumps at you.
And jumps on you. And it sort of clings on.
That's terrifying.
You'd be sort of running around trying to get it off and it's just gripping on like the old stag beetle thing again.
Yeah.
It's clinging on to you. But there is no... What I don't understand is, why is that spider that big? Right. Because no doubt it only eats stuff like normal spiders do, but it needs to eat more of them because it's a bigger lad. Right?
Yeah.
And it doesn't actually do anything. It's not like... I just don't
doesn't
get
track, it. Doesn't paint, doesn't do anything.
Yeah, it's just getting in the way, and it's one of those things that are so big, you couldn't kill it, because can you imagine, like, the mess that would make something that size if you stamped on it?
Yeah.
Which I'm not, you know, again, I'm not a fan of.
Yeah.
But I don't get that. And then there was a programme on a few weeks ago on BBC about spiders, and it was this one, right? It was going, you know, there's so many spiders in the world, and apparently there's so many of them, they can't give them all names. Right? What they're saying is, once one dies out, they'll actually introduce another one. Because there's so many different breeds of them that it's impossible to sort of make a book and list them all.
Right.
Well, it's like the book would be infinitely long.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like a queue.
They're not trying to name it individually, are they?
No.
That's their problem.
Yeah. Just keep it down to the species. Go on.
This is true, this.
Go on, yeah.
So they'll sort of go the... You know, gives a spider, the Black Widow, right? Black Widow, they've all died, so who's next? And they'll say, here's a redback.
Yeah.
And that's how they introduce them. So this programme was going on about this.
That's not how they do it.
No, they do it.
Okay.
Your point being,
right. So anyway, there's this little one, right, in Australia, and it shows you some kids being dead happy and playing around in the sun, loving it, you know, all healthy and that, and, you know, love being in the sun. They're playing around the pool and, you know, there's a couple of them there playing swing ball and that, dead happy, not a care in the world. And, like, the one of them goes, oh, I'll go swimming.
Yeah.
Because I've been playing swing ball for an hour, got a bit of a sweat.
Sure.
Go for a little breaststroke or whatever. And they get in the pool, and they can't wait to have a swim about. And then it pans to the bottom of the pool.
Yeah.
And there's this little spider just sat there dead still. Right? Sat at the bottom of the pool holding its breath.
Holding its breath!
Okay.
Ah! Cheeks going up red, eyes bulging. Yeah. Eight pairs of goggles on.
One goes by with a snorkel. You should have thought of this.
Four pairs of flippers.
Yeah.
It sat there in the deep end, right? And then it pans back to the kids having a good time, chucking a ball to each other.
Yeah. I can see what's going to happen here.
And it pans back.
It's not going to join in the game, is it?
No.
And what happens is the kid starts bouncing up and down on the floor.
Sure.
Goes and sticks its, the kid goes and puts a foot on the spider. Bites the kid, and apparently, if you're not seen to, you can be dead in 15 minutes.
Sorry, why does this spider sit at the bottom of the pool?
That's what it likes to do.
Animals don't do things they like to do. Animals do things for a reason.
Waiting for a kid to come along so
No! It doesn't make any sense! It doesn't make any sense.
Well, that's what
it's not. It's not. It doesn't go out to murder kids. That's not. That's not what it does.
No, there must be a reason. I mean, if you just stopped when you watch these programs and don't get involved with the music and, like, you know, the odd, why does it sit at the bottom of the pool? There must be a reason. It either goes there for protection, food, to cool. It does it for a reason. It doesn't go there to wind up swimmers.
Yeah.
There must be a reason. This is it. If anyone's watching, please, if you're watching that program, I don't know. I don't know about this spider. What's the name of the spider?
I'm not sure.
Okay. Well, it 08700 800 1234.
Is it the Duncan Goodhue?
is it Paul?
I mean, I don't know. Maybe it does go into other things like ponds and that, and maybe it does the same to ducks if a duck stands on it.
But why? The duck stands on it.
Why?
Oh, I love your brain.
Probably because it, eventually, you know, a kid can get, like, saved if it's seen to in 15 minutes, but a duck is just gonna, like, wander around and go, God, I don't feel well and what have you.
What good is that to the spider?
Because...
No, I'm saying it might kill it if it might protect itself, but it must be in the pond for a reason in the first place, or the swimming pool. It must be down there for a reason. It must have, another agenda, evolutionary. Wise, it can't just do it.
Could it be in training for the Olympics?
Unless it is just cooling, like those. Because on one of the other programs that's a bit mental.
The one
with the lizards. Did they tell you?
Well, let's not get into lizards. This could
take. Okay, no, go on quickly.
No, this is a good one. It was a program, BBC program again, on how insects and animals help each other out.
Yeah.
Right. They were saying how, you know, you might think they're an insect, but they think like humans do, yeah. And they all help each other out, right? And there was this lizard that is running about in the desert, right? And it's going, God, it's roasting. And what it does, it makes a little hole in the sand, and it goes under the ground and it cools down, right?
Yeah.
And then you see one of the locals, I think it was in Egypt or something, and the Egypt bloke comes walking along.
The Egypt bloke?
And,
is he walking like an Egypt bloke?
Yeah, walk like an Egypt bloke.
And what he does, right, he's looking out for these holes in the ground.
Sure.
And he sticks his hand in.
Yeah.
And he
Why does he want the lizard?
He makes shoes and stuff out of it.
Okay.
Right. And you see him walking around, he's got about 12 of these things in a basket on his back, and they're all looking really fed up.
Oh, yeah.
And it's dead hot, and they can't be bothered trying to escape, and they look really fed up. And this bloke's laughing, you know, he's collecting loads.
I love how he watches this, like, because they sort of editorialise it and make it into, like, some sort of, like, evil play.
Yeah,
yeah. But then it was saying how this deadly scorpion that man is scared of is mates with the lizard. And the reason is that the scorpion goes into the hole, right? It can't dig its own hole because its arms are that big and it's awkward for it to dig a proper hole.
Sure.
So what it does, it goes into the little den that the lizard's made, right? And whilst the lizard's having a kip, the scorpion says, tell you what, I'll do you a deal. You have a kip, I'll walk up and down this hole here and sort of scare away any people. So the lizard's like, yeah, all right then, fair enough. Because the scorpion wants a little hole to keep out the sun. The lizard wants a kip. They've done themselves a little deal. The Egyptian bloke comes walking along, sticks his hand in the hole.
Yeah.
He thinks he's just going to get a lizard. Scorpion stings him. He runs off, drops the basket. All the lizards go running off.
I love the fact that that is what always happens.
Yeah, they filled that just by chance.
Exactly. That's what always happens. I like the fact that the Egyptian bloke has done this every day. He does it. He goes, well, okay, I've got all these lizards. I'll just go to this hole again.
Yeah.
Because I haven't got that lizard yet. Yeah. This would be fine.
No, I just think.
And when the lizard and the scorpion make that deal, and he says, you have a kip.
Yeah.
And the other one does it. Do they talk in Egypt or?
I mean, do they talk Egypt
How do they talk Egypt bloke or English bloke? What language do they use, Carl?
It's the international language of love.
But spiders is what you're putting in Room 101.
Spiders.
Let's go back to that.
So spiders that
basically spiders that have got the poison to kill a man.
Because Rick, I know because you're
okay.
But Rick, I know
you are the ones that are just too big for their own good. I don't understand
that either.
But Rick, you're scared of all spiders, aren't you? Right? Yeah. Even the little tiny ones you find.
I don't like any spiders, yeah.
Is your husband afraid of them as well?
Oh, dear.
What are we playing here?
What are we playing here? Oh, this is Cat Stevens. Silent Sunlight. Beautiful off Catch Bullet 4 at its peak in the 70s. Silent Sunlight. Oh, Cat Stevens, Silence and Light. Yep. Carl just had a funny phone call, didn't you? From someone who's telling you all about the Little Brown, it's called, is it?
Little Brown, yeah. That's the name of the spider that sits in the bottom of the pool. He said it doesn't hold its breath. It's got an air bubble.
I didn't think it did hold its breath, to be honest. And then, as you know, Steve was opening a letter we got, and it's a football song, and it's They Don't Like It Up by the Leatherhead Gimpers.
But it's just, it's the fact we keep getting sent homemade singles.
Wow, that's good, isn't it? Oh, there's another one here.
They're both football anthems, though. We don't, well, do we show any interest in football? Are we
Well, the World Cup we do, don't we?
You're right, Rick.
Yeah. Yeah. I've got a bet on as well.
Have you?
Chelsea to win 2-1.
What, today?
Yeah. Mm. And I've got Chelsea to win 2-1, but Henri to score first. And that's something like 30-1 or something.
Best luck.
Yeah.
Best luck.
Cheers.
Brilliant.
Right, so, spiders. That's the first one in Room 101, isn't it?
So
rude people in supermarkets. Rude people in supermarkets. Spiders that are either have got enough poison to kill a man or are unnecessarily big.
Yeah.
Yeah, go on then. Right, good. Going well.
Right. Next one.
Yeah.
Stars in their eyes.
Blimey, it's a popular show.
Can't
you might alienate
stand
a lot of people.
It.
Why?
Just, I think, if you've got a talent, right, there's loads of shows now that you can go on and make a killing.
Yeah.
Like Pop Idol.
Yeah.
What was the other one? Pop Stars.
Yeah.
That sort of thing. So, people who will go on Stars in Their Eyes, they want to sort of be famous.
Yeah.
They want to be a singer. What I don't understand is why go on that show where you do all the hard work, got to do all the graft.
Yeah.
And yet, even if they win it, you never see him again. The guy who won last year, Christy Berg.
Ian Moore.
Ian Moore.
Before last, but I was now with his own stuff.
Yeah, but, alright. how did it sell?
I bet that sold well.
Exactly. Don't get it.
What I like is when, someone doing Edith Piaf, like Windsor Heat, and, Matthew goes, well, I don't think you'll be going back to the, cleaning job, will you? Yes, she will. Monday.
Almost certainly.
Monday. She'll be back there Monday.
Just yeah. And just the way, you know, in like the final last week where the guy who was Elvis won, and they're
I
all
thought he would, though. I thought he was very good.
No, he was good. But will we see him again? Do you know what I mean? What is his job?
I don't know.
He'll be carrying on doing that. There's going to be no change to his life whatsoever. He's very good at what he does, but he's wasting his time on Stars in the Eyes.
So what's- I don't understand exactly what your issue is. You clearly like the show, because you watched the final last week.
He thinks-
You agree that the people are talented.
You think it's a waste of talent to go on Stars in the Eyes because it's not a vehicle to be famous, whereas something like-
Pop Idol,
yeah.
Pop Stars, even yeah. Big Brother. Do you know what I mean? Go yeah. on that. Sit in a room all day, have a month off work.
Because they're all big stars now, aren't they?
No, but what I'm saying is, it's less work to sit in the Big Brother house. Now and again, just sing a song, and people go, oh, isn't he a good singer? You come out after having a month's rest or whatever it is you're having there.
Yeah.
You come out and there's loads of record companies, like, waiting for you to come out and give you a deal.
And what happens then? When you get a deal, when you cut a record, what happens to that record then?
Then it either sells or it doesn't.
And actually, what happened to it?
It didn't sell.
No, none of them did.
But what I'm saying is, that is a lot easier to do than to all the graft that you have to do on Stars in the Rise and the pressure.
What would you rather do? Buy Craig's Christmas record?
Yeah.
Or, Ian Moore's, classics?
Probably Craig, just because the guy on Stars in the Rise really thought he was better than Christy Berg. When he was singing and-
I think I'm better than Christy Berg. Oh.
He was singing, Christy Berg came walking on.
Did he cry?
And he didn't stop and go, oh, I can't believe it, my big fan. He was sort of carrying on, like, don't interrupt me, I'll have a word with you in a bit.
You think he should show the man he's actually making a little bit of living off?
Yeah.
Emulating.
A bit of respect.
A bit more respect.
And the most annoying thing-
I imagine them arguing, resting each other on the floor saying, I'm Christy Berg, no, I'm Christy Berg. Like two ventriloquist dummies, just having a fight in the dressing room afterwards.
But the most annoying thing of all with Stars in Their Eyes, people who go on, and do people like, say like, I think last year, someone went on and did Lamar. Right? Now, if you wanna, cause the whole idea is with Stars in the Rise, you get work off the back of that show by like companies, don't you say?
Yeah.
Let who will we book?
Yeah.
You could get the real Lamar for about 30 quid. So why have an imitator?
Well, it seems to me, though, Carl, the problem is that show's been running so long that all the big names have already been done, so it's going to end up having to be, isn't it, Lamal or some old kind of 50s singer you've never heard of. Isn't that the problem?
I remember when...
I mean, it's just an... It's just a,
Eddie
it's just
Reader was on there. There was a movie about Eddie Reader.
But it's just a karaoke contest. It's just... It, I don't think... I think you're assuming that everyone on there wants to get, a recording contract.
They do, Steve.
Okay.
In that bit at the back where they say, and the votes are coming in, let's have a look at the tension now that's going on. And they sat there and they really think they are Elvis. And they are Luther Vandross. Sat there, and like, if they were all sat there having
woke up this morning, looked at your picture just to get me started. Filth.
If they were all sat there, sort of thinking, oh god, this is a bit of a laugh, isn't it? But they're not, you can see that they all really want it. And it's
so what I'm saying is, who are you putting in room 101? Are you putting in the people who are just there to have a bit of fun?
Everyone involved in that show.
Including Kelly?
Yeah.
He's a talented guy. You don't care?
No. He's going in as well. He's in there first, and then everyone else, everyone who enters it, the people who go and sit in the audience, everything.
But it what would you do Saturday night? You'd love the show, you watch it every week.
It was just on when I was getting ready to go out, and there's nothing else on at that time.
Sure.
And it was the final on Saturday night as well.
Yeah, you got to watch the final, you know, the final. Yeah.
Well, who would you do if you went on the show?
Moby.
I'd probably do... Ooh.
It's not that you look like them, though, is it?
No,
it's
no. They wouldn't let me on as Tracy Chapman. I was furious.
That's annoying.
Because I sound just like her, but they said... No.
Bowie.
You do Bowie?
Yeah.
Can I hear your impression?
No.
Well, come on.
No, because you just said if you could go on and what have you, I'm saying that.
Well, it's got to be someone you can do. I mean, obviously, I'd go on as Will Smith because I can do the rapping.
Yeah.
I can't do it. I'm not a good singer. I've never really been into singing. I've never done a live singing thing before.
Haven't you?
No.
If there was a talent show on. What did you do?
I did Walk Like an Egyptian by the Bangles and I mimed, dressed up as a woman.
How old were you?
It was when I was still going to school, so it was like...
Well, I hope so.
12.
And why did you do that? What did you mime to, and why were you dressed as a woman? Where's the logic in this, is what I'm saying, Carl? What sort of act was this?
I think I was meant to get hold of some, like, Egyptian outfit. Couldn't. So I looked in my mum's wardrobe, and I had a dress.
Dress in a fez, carrying some lizards, that'd do it, wouldn't it?
I had some boots and a wig on.
And how did you dance? Look, he looks confused.
He's suddenly confused.
The best bit was it was like a proper talent show. Do you know where you cover it all?
Yeah.
So I did like the dancing and the miming, and then I also did a bit of magic, right? Where I had like a cloth, right? And I had it over my hand like that, and the crowd were like, oh god, what's he gonna do?
Of course they were. Go on, and what was the trick?
They weren't playing that. The crowd going, oh, what's the great
That's one chorus. Ooh, what's he gonna do?
Oh, what's the great Pilconi gonna do?
So what I did was, I stood there teasing them, and
teasing the audience?
Yeah. And I said, I'm gonna make a bird appear before your very eyes. Okay. And I pulled the tea towel off, and I just had hold of an egg. And I said, oh, it isn't born yet. They loved it.
He's so proud of that! Look at his face!
Did you come up with that yourself?
Yeah.
Did you have any help at all?
No.
So you did Walk Like an Egyptian and dress as a woman, then you did the egg trick.
And then I was also playing like a janitor. Because when the next person was singing, I'd come on and all the electric went off. And I came on going, oh god, has anyone got 50p for the meter?
Oh, you're quite a little showman, weren't you?
And then like, you know, the
did you win?
Chucked her some money.
Yeah.
And,
are you sure you weren't actually employed as the janitor?
No, did you win?
No, I think we came second. This really tarty girl who did Madonna, like a virgin. And I thought, yeah, right. Like you are. She's a right ropey little woman. But,
sounded great. Okay, brilliant. So Spider Stars in our eyes, we better play a track, hadn't we?
Indeed, yeah. Bit of Tom McRae, this was a track we played a while back, I enjoyed it. Tom McRae, End of the World News.
Yeah, I love that one. I hope you're enjoying the music. We're loving it, aren't we?
Indeed.
Still to come, we've got another entry to Room 101, Carl's final entry, and then that giveaway, the famous giveaway with Enhance Carl's Life. Can I have some adverts, though, first, Carl? Because I'm getting a bit fed up with adverts for a little while.
Badly Drawn Boy, Once Around the Block. Classic, a retro cut.
Getting a bit sad now, Steve. 20 minutes.
Indeed.
Right. I've got so much to say. I've got so much to leave people with about Carl. All the things he's done. Looking back, Carl, do you remember when I put up the waste paper bin on your head?
Classic.
Classic yeah. time, yeah.
Yeah, do you remember that? What did I do to you today?
Well, you tried to bring the same memories flooding back to me by putting the same grotty bin on my head. But the annoying thing was, last time I did it, it was quite a new bin.
Yeah.
Did it today, it's rank, all yeah. sorts of stuff on
what
it.
What else do I do when I saw you go around the corner down there? Go on.
I went to get the paperwork and that you need to produce the show.
Yeah.
And, came around the corner, Ricky was sort of hiding, and I was concentrating reading stuff, and he goes,
I don't imagine it was as soft and gentle as that. I imagine it was more like
exactly like that. And he, I tell you what, I nearly exploded because he sort of hopped on my neck, right? And it was he sort of, I don't know why I'm doing this, but he sort of was walking down and we're looking down, and I went and he hopped like that, and it waved.
Rest assured, listeners, that if you were here, it's not any funnier than it is if you were listening at home. It's only amusing to Ricky.
It makes you feel really refreshed.
He was going on and having a heart attack like that, and I was nearly having a heart attack laughing. And he went, "I feel good now." He said, "I can see why people skydive." He said that'll be good for people that were ill. Oh, jeez. Carl.
Did make me feel fresh.
How am I gonna live without Carl for 14 weeks?
Oh, you'll find other people to irritate.
Oh, dear. Okay, so, right, well, we got, it's fine entering room 101, but we've also, had so many emails and letters about this competition, people trying to bribe you with things. They've been great. Can you read a few of them all?
Absolutely, yeah. Well, obviously, this is, people trying to win this, bag that we got signed at the BAFTAs. We got Graham Norton, Angus Deighton, Alan Davis, Jamie Theakston, Paul Whitehouse, Baxendale, Helen, Steve Filmich and McFadden, Peter Davison, Simon Pegg, Steve Wright, all different people signing the big bag.
Do you know what I think, though? I don't think people want that. I think they want to contribute to Carl's existence.
Well, this is
I really genuinely think that Carl was sort of, you know, you've only been there. How long have we been doing this now with you? Sort of like, you know, in the area. 3 months?
Yes.
I think you've touched people's lives, Carl. I don't think I've ever met, well, I haven't met you, but I think your soul comes across as like a cross between, I'd put it, he's like a cross between a cat.
And yeah. Rain Man.
Yeah.
But, we've had quite a few which are, sort of, which obviously want to kind of further your education. Obviously, when we're off air, this is something we're worried that's just going to dry up, you know, and we've tried hard to educate you. So, lots of books, lots of people suggesting books, The Giant Book of Mysteries. And I mean, if you chose this one, Carl, it tells you, how 3,000 Japanese soldiers literally vanished overnight. Real life accounts of vampires. The man who planned his own crucifixion. The famous Carl. Ghostbuster, Harry Price. And lots of, things about spontaneous combustion.
Is this the one about the woman with the hairball?
That's not got the woman with the hairball in there. I'll have to dig that one out for you.
These sort of books are the thing that I'm after.
This is what well, interesting
I've,
is.
I've brought in one as well. It's a friend who works with Jane, my girlfriend, called Liz, and she wants to put this forward. And this is Trade Secrets: Everything You Will Ever Need to Know About Everything. And it's just like little tips. You know what I mean?
But there's so many things competing with that. You see, there's another guy who sent in. He wants to give you a video entitled "Making Love Parts 1 and 2: An Instructional Guide." I imagine you'd enjoy that, Carl.
Nah.
No, nothing they can teach you.
Nah.
Sure. The Reader's Digest book of strange stories and amazing facts. Again, other stuff here. Why cats have 9 lives, Carl?
Well, hang on a minute.
Why meteors are likely to destroy Earth in the next 100 years?
You're wasting your time. Okay. In this Trade Secrets book.
Yep.
Listen to this for a tip. Make a necklace from electrical wire.
That's a good idea.
But don't plug it in.
What?
Doesn't say that.
What about this then, Carl? Because obviously we're concerned that you didn't get your GCSEs or you didn't get as many as you'd have hoped. There's a guy here, this is Victoria, and she's saying she's more than willing to give you all of her awards and certificates. She's got 6 GCSEs, 6 A's and 4 B's. She's got many GCSEs, in fact, 6 A's, 4 B's, 3 A levels, and a master's degree in philosophy. She's willing to give you those certificates. She says you will be the proud owner of qualifications. As the owner of qualifications, she has found that anything she says is invariably believed and that she's popular and very happy. She's willing to give you those qualifications. That's pretty impressive. You can claim they're your own. You have to change your name to Victoria, but other than that, I can see no problems.
And you have to put a dress on and a fez.
It's nice.
More like an Egyptian. But you see, there's lots of educational ones. Then there's other things which are perhaps less useful to you. This is, doesn't say who it's from, but, I think it's Ruth, and she's happy to give you a statue of an ostrich that she made when she was seven.
What about that?
All right, you love birds, you love animals.
Yeah, apparently it's a statue.
The legs fell off under the weight of the body, so now it's just a legless ostrich. But even so,
yeah,
even so,
I've only got a small flat.
Sure. Another woman here. She. I doubt
if it's ostrich size.
Yeah, it's just clogging up space, though, isn't it?
This is Lauren. She's willing to give you some of her handmade blue tack animals. She makes animals out of blue tack. She can give you an elephant, a seahorse, a tortoise, a pig, a butterfly, a fish, snail, even a stegosaurus, or anything you choose.
See, I've got my art set on.
You've got the books. You're excited about the books.
Book.
What about this, though? This is a Lego alarm clock with a little Lego man who's got a variety of hats. It says here, including biker's helmet and cap. Two, I think, of the village people. I don't know, Carl, if, again, people are picking certain things up. A clear stiletto mobile phone holder with pink fur on it, flashes pink and green. I think people know that you are not listening in this book.
Listen, right? In this book, little tips and stuff. It's one here about if your dog keeps nicking a remote control.
Sure.
The way to get it off it, ring the doorbell. Right? So you've got to get off your chair. Go and ring the doorbell, so the dog goes, "What's that?" And it drops the remote control, goes running to the door. Yeah. You run back and pick it up.
I love the idea of Carl doing that, and then the doorbell goes, and Carl drops it and goes, and it's the dog pressing the doorbell and sits back down, and Carl going, "Oh no, not again."
I mean, I really do want. Can't I just have this?
You're excited by that, are you?
It's brilliant.
What about this one though that you mentioned? This is. A book which has got all those, urban legends and stories that you've read on the internet, and it tells you whether they're real or not. This has got the one in there. I know you're very excited about the one with the woman who stuck her head in the microwave.
Yeah.
Eh?
Alright.
It's not- Alright, so basically she's saying here that whenever Ricky says, oh, it's not true, you can dispute that with your book.
Yeah. What do you think then, Carl? Do I have a think about all these gifts?
There's so much stuff, isn't there?
Should you play a record and then come back?
Can't,
have you found something you like in there?
You're so undecided, Carl.
I really like this book.
Go on, what is it? What have you else you found? What tip?
God, there's loads of stuff in there. Let's just pick one at random. Don't be too tidy. Leave some areas for helpful garden animals to hide in. So when you're cleaning your garden and that, you know, it might look a bit of a mess, but think about the animals that are walking about at night in the dark and stuff.
Yeah.
Just little things you don't think about.
Yeah, because they're pointless.
Yeah.
Okay, then, well, let's play a record.
Oh, there's so many to decide on.
Yeah.
Alright, what are we playing, Steve?
This is something from a little compilation that came free with a magazine called Comes With A Smile. It's a good little magazine. And this is by Matt Pond, PA. It's called Night's End, isn't it? I suppose there's a little bit of new country, which we don't play often, but there's some nice tracks floating about.
Nice.
And that's
Matt
Pond, PA, Night's
End.
Well,
I'm getting very... sad now. 10 minutes to go, and so much to cram in. Now, thing is, Carl's fallen in love with that book, but I feel a bit bad letting a friend sort of win when all these lovely people, these regular listeners. So I don't think you can have that. But I'll tell you what, I'll borrow that, or I'll buy it for you, so you can have that anyway. What?
That's
you found
safe. You're going home with that.
What? Avoid washing up by boiling a bag of food.
See, I could see why he'd love that.
Exactly.
Is there anything out? What other things have you caught your eye though? Put that book down. Yeah. Go on.
Well,
one of our regular listeners who actually wants the bag and wants to be part of your life, come on.
Well, Richard emailed in, right? And he's got a book, which is similar to the one I like there.
Yeah.
Which has got, like, 180 stories in it. Most of them are, like, true, I think. Do you know I was telling you that story about the woman who put her head in the oven to dry her hair?
Yeah.
Because she liked the way-
And she boiled her brain.
Yeah, she stuck it in the microwave.
Avoid washing your hair by boiling the brain bags.
So she put her head in the microwave?
Yeah.
And boiled her brains?
Yeah. And boiled her brains. Sure. She thought she'd get the same result as she did from the oven, but it all went wrong and that. And
what do you mean? She used to dry hair in the oven? And she just, like, went modern?
Apparently, it's like what punks used to do. You get a different sort of heat off an oven than you do off a hairdryer, right?
Sure.
So, she thought, well, I'll do it in half the time, use a microwave.
Sure.
She was busy.
I don't understand how you can get your head in a microwave. It only works when the door closes.
Yeah, but you jam the little thing, don't you?
Well, don't say that. Don't say that. Don't tell. I don't think it's possible, but don't.
Of course it is.
Yeah,
but
well,
anyway,
don't.
But he remembers that story and said, I've got a book full of stuff like that. And, he sort of sums up a little story that's in the book about this girl who, she had long hair, right? And, she used to always mess around with it. And, she's sucking on it. Do you know, like, how girls girls do with the long hair. They sort of mess around with it and stuff.
Yeah.
And she's sucking on it all the time. And she was doing this from the age of like 10.
Mm.
And then, I don't know, she's probably about 30 odd. And she's doing this all the time.
Guessing.
And she goes, oh God, my belly's hurting today, mum. And she goes, oh, what's wrong with you? She said, I don't know.
You're 30.
Yeah. So, so she goes to the doctors, and the doctors do an x-ray, and nothing's coming up, and it's like, I don't know what's wrong with you, you know, you're just being a bit moany about nothing. She's like, no, honestly.
She's a very intolerant doctor.
Yeah.
She said, this is-
Piss off.
This is really hurting, I don't know what's up with it. So anyway, they found out some sort of system of, looking at what was going on.
Yeah.
And apparently,
x-rays.
No, it wasn't x-ray, because x-ray didn't show it up.
Okay.
It was something else. So, anyway, it's only gone and turned into, like, she's been sucking her air for so many years.
Sure.
That little bits had come off. Sure. She's got a giant air ball in her belly.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah.
Which was, like, huge, the size of a rat or something like that, right? The size of a...
It's so interesting what he chose. Yeah. The size of a rat.
No. Well, the funny thing is, when they eventually got it out, the mum was like, you know, oh God, it was terrible, and that's, she actually said, it looked like a dead rat.
Oh. Right.
And it was in her belly, and that's like what was causing all the pain.
Sure.
And apparently, your belly acids don't kill hairs, because they're so fine, it can't handle it.
Yes.
So, right. So you go for that book, are you?
That's the one I want,
who's
yeah.
the winner, then? Who's the winner of the lovely BAFTA
What's
bag?
What's his name there? Richard Scholar, is it, or something?
Yeah, Richard, Scholar, or Scowler, or something else. So he's the winner, so check it out, you're gonna get that book coming to you. I'll borrow this book for you.
I need an email within, like, 5 working days to sort of...
So what's your email?
It's... carl.pilkington@xfm.co.uk.
Okay, lovely.
I want an email from this guy, and I won't be sending the bag out until I receive the goods.
Okay, very good. Enough. Well, we've only got a few minutes. I want to play Suede, and I want to end with the Smiths track, so let's play this.
What is it?
Suede, Stay Together. Lovely track. My favourite Suede track of all time there. Well, oh, that's nearly it, Carl. Right, what's your last Room 101?
Oh God, it was, holidays.
Holidays?
Well, you want to put holidays in Room 101?
People, they were sort of annoying on holiday.
Oh yeah.
Do you know when you go away?
Oh yeah.
It sort of touched on this before.
Is this gonna be the Scouse guy?
Yeah.
Go on.
Oh, it's so long though. I mean, it was holiday when we went to Tunisia.
And the Scouser pissed you off, surprise, surprise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the annoying thing was, you know, when you go it was a cheap holiday, and, like, the lesson here is, you know, if you want a good holiday, you gotta, like, spend some money.
Yeah.
And we didn't on this one, we spent about, I don't know, 400 quid for two of us for, like, a month or something ridiculous. And we got there, and, you know, you get to the hotel and you go, we have made a mistake. You know, it's a ropey hotel. You know, you can tell, like, the blinds and stuff, as you're walking, they're all dirty and stuff, and you think, well, let's make the most of it. You know, let's not get down about it. It's a holiday, it's sure. for a rest. And you try and make the most of it, and we had to meet. Do you know, like, you have one of those things where you get to your destination, and the rep says, right, you know, go and unpack your bags and that, go and sort yourself out in the room, and, tomorrow morning we'll meet up at 10 o'clock, and I'll go through, you know, the best sort of place to go for camel rides and, you know, the best deals I can get you. That sort of thing.
Can anyone here walk like an Egyptian?
So she says, right, tomorrow morning, meet 10 o'clock in the discotheque. So we get up and we have breakfast, and it wasn't a good breakfast. The kitchen was, like, bit horrible. The food wasn't good. And it was run by sort of midgets.
What do you mean it was run? Not there's anything wrong with that.
There was little fellas running around, and the annoying thing was one of them sort of started to fancy my girlfriend.
How did he manifest his affection for
No, you're not saying there's anything wrong with midgets, though, are you? Just
no,
saying
no,
it was
no,
strange. There was
yeah, but even midgets shouldn't be cutting on Carl Pilkington's
territory.
No,
I know.
But it's also that thing of, you know, they've got little fingers, and... And it's sort of
God,
ruined.
I'm so sorry.
No, I'm not. It is a bit of a phobia of mine.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? They are nice people and that.
Sure.
Oh God. But the annoying thing is-
So what was he doing then? How did he- I don't understand how he was chatting up your girlfriend. Was he crawling under the table so you couldn't see?
He just kept-
Whispering to her from underneath there.
Stop it!
Just saying, you know.
Wait, I don't want to get a complaint on our last show.
There's not many midgets.
What's gonna happen? Can we just finish this and start up again in a couple of months?
Oh, yeah. So if you want to know more about the midget theme restaurant, then we'll talk you in 3 months.
Yeah.
It's just, oh. It's just,
no, that's fair enough, actually. Oh, yeah, no, right, sorry about this. Producer's
listen, we'll see you in about, really, it's been a pleasure, truly, and thank you for everyone that wrote letters. Have you really?
I've got you both a present. Right?
Oh.
I got Ricky, do you know, like, we've done fables and stuff?
Right? Yeah.
This is like Mr. Ben.
Oh.
This is brilliant.
Yeah.
Right, and it's like little fables that Mr. Ben goes on.
Oh, fantastic.
So I want you to learn something from that for when you come back.
Okay, brilliant. That's lovely,
Carl. I'll tell you one of the stories I read this morning. It's brilliant. In fact, when you've done with it,
yeah,
give it me.
Yeah.
Because I haven't finished reading that.
Okay. Thank you, Carl.
And for Steve, a little, chat-up lines.
A little book of chat-up lines.
That's fantastic. That's great, Carl. Thank you. Well, we'll see you, in 3 months, but carry on emailing Carl, cherish Carl Pilkington, he sits in a little room by himself, so keep him in touch, and we'll see you in, August. I'm gonna leave you with something that, we all love. This is, There Is a Light That Never Goes Out by The Smiths. Very apt, I think. Goodbye.
See you later.